Happy Hump Day, everyone. I am Brian O'Neill.
And I'm Coach K. Together, we make up Queen City Poly, a podcast dedicated to discussing polyamorous relationships and other forms of ethical non-monogamy.
Due to the explicit content of this podcast, we would advise you to listen with headphones or while you're in your vehicle. Or don't. I can't tell you what to do. Enjoy the episode.
Today, I wanted to talk to you about hierarchy. Or what they call it, like sneakyarchy or some shit.
Ooh, who calls it that?
People. Poly people. Well, sneakyarchy is a different term. Sneakyarchy is like, if I'm even saying it right, is like that term for when people claim they're non-hierarchical, but really there's a lot of hierarchy there.
Oh. I feel like you're talking about us.
No. It's like they...
Because we say like we're non-hierarchical.
The toxic form of hierarchy. So, okay. So this whole conversation kind of came about because I lurk in the Facebook groups as usual and...
That's where we got our content.
You know, and then we come back and talk about them with each other and with the rest of the world via this podcast.
Yeah.
There was this post in one of the groups that talked about how people claim to be non-hierarchical, and even though they have these kind of intertwined relationships that are tangled up financially or with families or in all these other ways, and so like any new person coming into that dynamic isn't going to be on equal footing, so to speak. And it was just kind of a conversation about what hierarchy means, and especially this distinction between, as a lot of people brought up, this distinction between prescriptive versus descriptive hierarchy, where prescriptive hierarchy is like your classic hierarchy where you say, this is my primary partner, this is my wife.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have children, we live under one roof, we share finances, and maybe even go so far as to say she has veto power, but there's like some sort of dynamic that like you're not gonna ever be,
don't enter this space,
this is my primary, respect, yeah, this thing first.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever we do is kind
of
extra.
Respect the sanctity of this relationship.
Right. Versus something more like a descriptive hierarchy, which is, I feel like, more of what we talk about, where, yes, we cohabitate, and yes, we share finances, and yes, we're, you know, planning children, and...
Or basically everything that...
And a lot of the escalatory things, like, right? Yeah. However, I still feel comfortable calling us non-hierarchical... Or a lot of times I clarify and say, you know, descriptive, not prescriptive hierarchy, because even though there are a lot of these things that kind of change the power structure of the relationship,
mm-hmm,
at its base level, we don't place limits on each other about what we can do with other people. We don't place like these ceilings on what we can do with other people. We just have conversations and... We have ideas ourselves about what we think our future looks like,
mm-hmm,
but it's an evolving conversation, and no one's told, you know, this is my primary relationship. You might tell them, this is an important person in my life. Mm-hmm. We are planning to have kids, or we live together, or we share finances, and we are intertwined in this way. So I'm going to make certain things priority over here. It's an important part of my life. But it's not like end all be all, whatever she wants, whatever I
right.
want.
Right. It's like you don't like... I don't know. I think of it as the same way of any other part of like a family member, right? Like if I have like a family member that's a really important family member, obviously I value... who they are and all that stuff, but like at the end of the day, I make the soul. Excuse me, I'm burping. I make
the
soul.
Yeah, that's great for the podcast audio that you speak so much of. studio can't do shit on the burping.
Here we go. Here we go. Just saying. I had a good thing going here. Where was I at?
I did it.
You know, sometimes when you're focused, laser focused, and you just throw me off like a bronco. Hold on. All right. Yeah, even though I value that lovely person that's in my life, I have all authority
right.
on what and happens autonomy. In my world.
Right.
You know?
Right, and I don't dictate your relationships, you don't dictate mine.
No dick taken. We're having fun tonight.
We are.
Yeah.
We are. But there are a lot of people that are like, fuck that, that's still hierarchy, y'all should just admit to it. Mm. And, I mean, we've experienced this with people that have been partners yeah. of yours that feel like I have all this power or we have all this hierarchy. And I don't like the assumption. I like being really upfront about it.
Mm-hmm.
And saying, listen, we do have a descriptive hierarchy because we are, you know, living together and share finances and trying to have children and things like that. Like, we do have this kind of escalatory type relationship with one another. But at the same time, it's an ongoing conversation, and the basic premise is still that there are no ceilings for these people.
Mm-hmm.
Especially ones that are meant to, like, protect our union in some way.
We don't live that type of...
But that's life. What a lot of hierarchy is for, right? It's to protect the kingdom.
Mm.
Like, that's the hierarchy, right? Like, kings and queens and shit.
What about when it's, like, the king and the two queens?
I
feel like there's always one, like... queen is higher than the other queen.
There's no such thing as, like, equality, right?
We need equity, right?
That's what equity we need. And every relationship is just different and unique yeah. and whatnot.
I hear people say that because, like, when I was talking about polyamory to my friend that has, like, three kids,
mm-hmm.
and I tried to explain to her, it was like, well, you wouldn't say that you love one kid more than the other. She was like, yeah, but one's always, like, your little favorite, though. I was like, what? As the only child, I don't know about this, but that's like, you might be able to attest to this, because I feel like not trying to, like, your siblings don't listen to this podcast, but like, your
mom knows? Would... Maybe they do. They're liking it on Facebook and stuff. It's terrifying.
I feel like, with your mom, like, I feel like you're just easier to deal with, so like, you just, not necessarily the favorite, but you're just, it's just like when you're handling three kids, and then one of them just like, oh, this...
Four kids, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like if you're a teacher, like, you love all your students, but damn, this one kid is just easy to deal with, like...
Well, and, I mean, in sociology of the family classes, like, they would talk about how it's not just the kid, right? The kid has a particular personality and attachment style, the parent has a particular personality and attachment style, and it's just how those two mix at that point in their life, right? Like, it's not... that one personality or one type is better than the other. It's that, like, sometimes they mesh better or easier or... I mean, and some of the most combative relationships are some of the most wonderful and mm-hmm. have the most growth and all that sort of stuff. So it's not even to say that your easiest relationships are your best ones. It's not...
Yeah.
I don't know. There's no need to rank them. It's just they're different and they're unique and that's okay. And some of them might feel easier or might feel more in tune in one way or another. Right. And that's fine, too. But, I don't know, going back to this whole concept of how we deal with it with other people, I tend to feel like a lot of these descriptive hierarchies, like what we talk about, are rounded up to people basically saying that we have prescriptive hierarchy based on their assumptions. Like, you have partners that make assumptions that when you say no to... staying over their house all night, it was really me who didn't want you to go. And that's not how we operate. And I want to be really clear with them that, you know, if they have a problem with how much time you're giving them, that is between you and them. I'm not in the corner here telling you to be home.
Yeah. usually you're like, oh, you're home early. I was playing a night without you.
Right. Into my bubble bath.
Right.
Yeah, but I mean, I feel like I get a lot of extra unwarranted animosity sometimes from people that just assume that because
people are always gonna,
close and we love each other and we have an intertwined relationship, that I'm out here calling all these shots or that you're listening to me in this particular way, and that's just not how it goes down.
I think some people will always assume that, and they can't just like they can't accept the reality that maybe like I just don't want to hang out with them that much.
Right. Because you take the responsibility. They take the responsibility that like you're their partner, not me.
Like I realize in a lot of like relationship situations, it's like, because I've realized, right, if I'm really into someone, I want to be over there.
Right.
Like, I want to be there.
That too.
You know what I mean? Like, I want to stay around for a long time. But if I'm not that into it as, like, as far as, like, a deep relationship goes, then I'm probably not over there that much.
Right.
But it doesn't mean I don't like you
right.
or I don't like hanging out with you
right.
or I don't like the time that, like, I value the time we spent together. But I just, you know...
Yeah.
I don't want to hang around. And that's just my personal personality also. Just because I'm always anxious about my time and what I'm doing. And like,
mm-hmm. Yeah, and you like alone time.
Yeah,
And you're polyamorous, like, so you have other people
that's
around.
That's the, like, we need like a special... Can I find those group of people that like are polyamorous but like need a lot of alone time? Like, it's just like a... I feel like ENFPs that are... polyamorous. I need to find those people.
They're out there.
Not to like date, just to like have a group therapy session. It's like
interesting. I'm like,
cause
you,
like
I'm like, just, what, you guys want to get together? I thought you guys wanted to.
No, it's just like the, cause like in my mind, I'd be feeling so selfish of like wanting alone time, but it's like I really like desire and need this.
Right. I find that polyamory will challenge a lot of that in you, regardless of whether or not it's alone time or any other boundary you have. I feel like polyamory really challenges you to deal with a lot of those feelings of guilt around feeling selfish for advocating for what you just want.
Yeah.
Because so much of this lifestyle is building your life around your wants and needs and desires and your partner's wants and needs and desires. But a lot of it comes down to what you want to do with your time.
Right.
And it's a common struggle to deal with a lot of guilt and feelings of selfishness around that. Whether or not you need a lot of alone time. Like, I deal with that just getting in my head about not wanting to go on a second date with dudes.
Mm.
Or not liking
because
some dudes.
Because you...
Because I just feel... Yeah, I feel... I don't know. I feel like I'm judging myself. Like, oh, you're being too picky or oh, you're just being selfish that you don't like this thing or whatever. Mm. But that's not really the case. I'm just in my feelings about it. And I need to process the fact that, like, no, it's okay. You're not excited. Wait till you're excited. You know what I mean?
Right.
And you don't need to take care of him. He's fine. Like, he needs a partner that's excited about him. Move the fuck on and whatever. And you do it too, right? Like, of people you're not excited about. Like, it's a process learning to be like, actually, I need to, like, back off because I'm not a fuck yes to this.
What's the in-between stage? Because I find I'm sometimes, like, in a very in-between stage with some people.
Limbo.
Like, I'm excited to spend time with you, but not that much time. And it's like, if we were to check in, like, every couple of weeks, like, that would be dope.
Yeah, I think we both need, like, comet partners.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, like, I have a partner now that's kind of like that. And it seems okay, but, like, I feel like I need to, like, text her also to just, like, check up on her to see if, like, hey, are we cool with
how
things... Because she's telling me all the things of, like, yeah, it is.
Right.
But in my mind, of course, with, like, all the, like... the womanly things that, like, I think of, like, oh, a woman wants this, and,
right.
like, to do this, and, like, you're not treating her right if you don't give her the world escalator. And do all that shit. And I'm just like, but I don't think, especially with this particular partner, because I feel like she's done it. She's divorced. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's an evolving conversation. I think you have the conversation over and over again as many times as it takes until you both feel really confident in it. And you create a space where it is very welcome for them to bring conversation to you if anything changes. And, like, you create that space of just, like, hey, is this cool? This is what I love about this.
Yeah.
Do you feel the same way? Are you wanting something different? And, you know, but take yes for yes, especially if you're enjoying that part of it.
Mm.
And they say they are too. But yeah, check in and... I don't know, but this back to this, like, hierarchy thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's just this idea that people get in their feelings anytime anyone prioritizes anything over them. So, if I have a new partner, and I say no to them, and I go to something with you, that's a decision I made. It's not because of hierarchy, it's what I want to do at that particular time.
Yeah.
Like, they can accuse me of it being hierarchy, but it doesn't make it true.
People look for reasons why things don't happen. You know?
Right.
Like, there's probably... I would imagine there are people out there that do the veto and all that shit, right? But you gotta think, take things at face value and not just... make assumptions. Like, you can, but, like, it's not really helping your situation. That's not gonna help you in your next relationships if you just assume.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I assume that every person, no one's gonna be cool with polyamory, but you never know until you tell them about it, and you'd be surprised. Especially, I don't know, I feel like people are getting in their 30s and 40s and shit like that. Like, some people are over this whole baby shit and, like, getting married, and they're just like, fuck, I just want to have a good time with the person, go, you know, hang out and eat some ice cream and fuck and go home.
Right,
you know?
And just chill.
Yeah.
But that's, I mean, I guess that's part of the vetting process.
Yeah, I mean, I've never...
Okay, so, sorry. So, the thing is...
I feel like you got some heat going here. Like, you feel like you want to be like, bitch, don't think that I'm the one pulling the strings. He's his own man.
I do feel like that.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm the scapegoat for a lot of their shit that has nothing to do with me.
Right.
And that's obnoxious. And I don't want anybody blaming you if I'm in a relationship with them, and I don't want to, like, move in with them or something.
Yeah.
Or what have you, or if I want to, like... yeah, not sleep over or whatever. It's not necessarily... it's not because I have you at home or whatever.
Right.
I don't know. But there's also this idea from a lot of poly people that was basically like, if you do any of these things, if you cohabitate or have children or share finances or do any of these, you know... non-solo poly things, if you get on any sort of escalators with anybody, especially if you get married, you're hierarchical and you're not allowed to, like, say you're not. And it's just kind of like, I don't feel like it's helpful for only solo poly people to be able to say that they're non-hierarchical or relationship anarchy.
Yeah, right. Doesn't seem fair.
I think it's an important distinction that, you know, yes, I have relationships that look like XYZ, and this is how I feel about hierarchy and veto and all these kind of, like, couples privilege and things like that. Does that mean that that shit doesn't affect me and I don't need to watch out for it, and that, you know, it's easy to slip into couples privilege, or it's easy to ignore certain kind of descriptive hierarchies that go along with managing a house with somebody or having kids with somebody? Absolutely not. Like, I take that shit head on. And right. I say, I know I have a descriptive hierarchy with at least, you know, my nesting partner here.
And descriptive means
So, like, the cohabitation and the shared finances, right, that, like, yeah, that describe, yeah, yeah, those things are describing,
yeah, yeah,
our relationship, and they allude to some sort of hierarchy. I always wonder,
like, what, like, for people that are polyamorous, right, like, I don't know, like, are people really jealous of that? Or, like, because I don't, for, like, I can name literally zero partners who I've thought, I want to share finances with this person. Or, like, I want to, like, that's a lot of trust in, yeah, a person. And it's just, like,
I guess with some of the, with the prescriptive hierarchy folks, I get it. Because you feel like you're entering into some relationship with all this couple's privilege, and you feel like that's just never on the table.
Right.
And that feels shitty and obnoxious.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's not like it's an easy thing for us to meet someone and want to do these things with them.
Yeah.
So we acknowledge the descriptive hierarchy there, but it's descriptive because there is room. Like, we're open to it if it's the right fit, it, you know. But we also don't daydream about communes.
Right. No.
Like, that's not our style.
Yeah, I mean, if, I feel like it's everything, like, the free form, like, it's just, like, if things end up whatever, right? Like, if I'm with someone and we fall in love and we've been together for years, they've already, you know what I mean, they've already had a kid, like, it's, like, it would be weird for me to just be, like, yo, like, you can't bring your kid over here, or, like, yo, you can't have your kid with our kid, like, we're trying to keep this a separate family.
But that doesn't mean we all want to move in under one roof.
Right, yeah, not exactly. Like, that doesn't mean that either, but it's just, like, it would just seem weird for me to just be, like, try to create these, like, really hard divides. Right. Especially if over time it just, like, it just felt so natural to, like, blend everything in.
Yeah.
Because that's, I mean, technically, I think that's what you truly want is, like, a blended love, family, tribe.
I mean, I wouldn't go that far. Some people like parallel poly. Some people don't want kitchen table. Some people don't want to intertwine their lives like that.
I guess.
That's valid.
I guess.
That's just thing. Not what you prefer.
I just feel like if it's naturally occurring, then why stop the process?
Some people have boundaries. They don't want to be around other metas and stuff.
Yeah.
It's not how they want to be polyamorous. Like, that's cool. They know who you are, but I'm not trying to hang out with them.
Yeah, I guess that's cool. Everybody can be who they want to be in style and all that, you know. But I guess whenever I envision things, I just envision things working that way. Because I just have a hard time blocking off certain parts of my life. So it's just like, I just need everything to kind of flow together.
Right.
You know. That just seems like extra work that I got to do.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, can't invite you to the cookout because, you know. It's like, fuck, okay.
Right. Yeah. I hate how intimidating our relationship is to new partners.
Yeah.
Like, I enjoy that they tend to try to respect it. I enjoy that they, you know, think it's a big, important part in our lives because it is, and mm-hmm. I appreciate when they understand that we love each other, you know, the polyamory part, right?
Because
some of the monogamous people act like we just don't care about each other because we're polyamorous. So when we have other partners, it's really nice that they, like, believe us when we say that we're committed and in love and this, that, and the other thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I really hate how sometimes, like, they're so intimidated by our partnership because I feel like it makes it much harder sometimes for them to trust that I'm not going to sabotage it or to just be friendly with me instead of, like, looking at me like some, I don't know the word, competitor.
of some kind.
I think that's a just a natural thing that you gotta, that's gonna keep coming up in polyamory.
Yeah.
As everyone tries to adjust, like, it's just a, I mean, maybe the more seasoned people, I feel like the people that we are friends with in the polyamory groups, like, they probably are better able to navigate those things than others. True. You know what I mean? But
it's true. We date a lot of newbies.
Yeah. But when the new people, they still got the monogamy mindset of, you know, what do you call it? When it's like, you feel like there's a lack of resources.
And scarcity model.
Scarcity model, mm-hmm. You know, so. And when you have that model, like, that's.
Speak up.
When you have that model, that's, you know, some of the things that come up.
Yeah.
So, I'm like, oh, there's a, not to toot my own horn, there's a good man here. And there's, you can only, only one of us can have him.
Do I have you?
More than most people.
I suppose.
You would agree to that, right? Like,
I don't like the language.
I would feel you seem. Charlie, you're fucking up our vocals here, buddy. Come on, man. We need a studio. But no, like, you're not on, like, some, like, you're not currently trying to figure out how to survive if I, because I'm leaving Pendant or something shit like that, you know what I mean? Like, it's,
yeah, like, we're,
I'm around.
Intertwined.
Yeah, yeah, yes. I'm around.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
There's no, what do you call it? Rocky paradise where all that shit. But I guess that's the difference between, like, family bonds and, like, things that aren't as, like, intertwined, right? Because when you're family, like, you can't really divorce your family. You know what I mean?
You can, it's just,
I mean, yeah, I mean, toxic, there are toxic family members, don't get me wrong. Right?
It's a different level of,
yeah,
extricating yourself,
yeah,
from a system.
That's the interesting part about romantic relationships, too. These are the people you choose. Just like friendships, right?
Yep. Yep.
You choose these people.
Yeah.
They're not,
with your genitals.
Well, not your friends. I don't fuck my friends. Not the guy ones, anyway.
No, I'm not talking about friendships. I'm talking about, like, romantic relationships. Like, you choose them. But, like, sex is such a big part of it.
It is, yeah. And the thing about it is, sometimes the people I want to have sex with, I don't want to be friends with.
The struggle.
But I think those are people I shouldn't be having sex with.
Unless they feel the exact same way about you.
Hmm. I see.
Then that's a match made in heaven right there.
Yeah. Wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. Yeah?
Jawohl.
Yeah, eh?
Ja, das stimmt.
I'm Drake, I'm from Canada, eh?
That's you speaking a foreign language.
That's me. That's a foreign language, should be Canadian.
Canadian English.
Oh, man. Any more on hierarchy? You want to digest?
I mean, it's kind of like, it's very similar, I feel like, to relationship anarchy, right? Where you might live with a partner and maybe even have kids with them and other things that look like hierarchy, but because you prescribe to relationship anarchy, when another partner calls you up and says, hey, you want to go to the movies, the conversation isn't, hey, do you think it's okay that I go to the movies? It's, hey, I'm going to go out for a bit.
Right, yeah.
Or maybe it's, would you mind watching the kid, watching, you know, our child while I go out for a bit? But it's not, it's kind of like that thing where you're, like, not asking for permission as much.
Yeah.
At all. You're not checking with anyone to see if it's okay.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I think at its basic level, the idea of hierarchy is that someone has automatic assumed priority over someone else. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like the word hierarchy. So if one of your other partners asks you to go away with them for the weekend, just you checking in with me to see if we have something on the calendar, or you're not asking my permission to go, but let's say I had something going on that weekend too. If you chose my thing, it's not hierarchy just because you chose my thing. It's hierarchy if it's assumed that
it's always that.
Oh, your K thing. Has something, so.
It's always your thing, yeah.
Oh, if K doesn't mind.
I think the always is the part that plays into hierarchy. Like, it always supersedes.
Yeah.
And it's always like that other partner has the last say.
Right.
To me, that's hierarchy.
Right.
If your activity is like just your boring veto. And I want to like choose something different, then that's just me making a choice.
Right. And, you know, anybody in a long-term relationship, like, relationships tend to escalate in some degree, even if it's just the fact that we've been in each other's lives for years and years.
What if we just got matching tattoos? Like, that's a hierarchy.
You do that.
You know?
Yeah.
Things that symbolize your love and commitment.
Yeah. Are you worried about being non-hierarchical, or does that ever freak you out?
I get freaked out sometimes just thinking about that feeling of being trapped, because the part of polyamory I like is the freedom. And we're in a relationship style where I can have the best of both worlds. I can have this very comforting level of relationship where I like being in a relationship, like a nesting style relationship, but also, you know, having that opportunity to explore and be with other people and love people and, you know, date and meet people.
Right.
I just, you know, my biggest fear is just settling into like being complacent and just becoming very what is it called auto-tuned or like autopilot. Like, I don't want to be like the yes dear guy that's just always complaining. Ugh, the old ball and chain, you know what I mean? Yeah. What's on your fantasy football list? You know, like, I don't want to be that guy that's just looking forward to fantasy football.
You're, like, really worried you're going to, like, randomly become that. Even though that's not you.
I'm so scared of that. Like, that shit, like...
But you know that can't just happen to you.
I know, but, like, I see dudes... I just get, like, freaked out about it. I'm just like, wow, like... They just be looking at me like, oh, you like... It's so funny, like, people, like, that have, like, really high-paying jobs, they're like, wow, you do stand-up comedy. Like, and their eyes light up, like, I just, like, entered another force. I was like, dude, I'm, like, trying to rub $2 and make $3, and you're, like, got a six-figure paying job with a Jaguar, and you're, like, you know, my fucking doctor, and you're just, like, fucking...
Yeah.
It's like, wow, that sounds amazing. Like, you know, I was like,
yeah.
Really? Like, you want to do comedy for $10 and some chicken fingers? Like, that's what you want to do?
Right.
But I guess, like, it's all perspective, right?
It is. I guess what I'm asking, though, is, I mean, I guess it just hasn't come up enough in our relationship yet for it to even be a fear, but I guess my original question was more like, does it ever freak you out that we've made these, because, I mean, you're a traditional guy or whatever, you know, you're raised in the South, like, does it ever freak you out sometimes that we are so relationship anarchy or non-hierarchical, like, it doesn't worry you that, you know, I could start dating someone else and, like, there's no ceiling for how far that can go?
No, because whenever I think of those things in that way, I always think of them going the best possible way. Like, in my mind, if that happens, me and the guy are, like, bros, like, we're, like, playing basketball together and, like...
Interesting. Like, whenever... you worry about everything, but you don't worry about me leaving.
No, I just think if you met someone... like that you were really into, then it would just be like a cohesive good thing. Like, I never think about you just being like, peace out, Brian, this other guy, like,
yeah,
I don't know, like, he does yoga with me more. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know, like, I never get that, like, but then again, like, I haven't had like a lot of experiences yeah. with that, so maybe like once you do start like dating, you know, more, dating yeah. more and like, you know, that stuff, and I'm like, well, I might feel jealousy of some sort, but I think the jealousy always comes if you don't feel like you're a good partner, but I feel like I'm a decent partner, you know.
Yeah.
Granted, like, I gotta deal with my own, you know, like, I gotta see a therapist about me hating myself, but, like, other than that, like... you know, I feel like I'm a decent part. I feel like I'm decent with you. I feel like I'm shitty with everyone else.
Interesting.
And that scares me more. That scares me more.
You feel like you're a shitty partner to your other partners?
Yes, I do. Why? All the time.
Because of us?
Yes. And because, like, typically the people I date don't have other partners. If they had, like, another partner, I would... and I would feel fine. I would feel guilt-free. I feel so much guilt.
Yeah.
Because they don't have other partners, so I'm just like, you know.
Sorry, it's not what I want.
Yeah, or just like, I just don't have the time. Like, I right. just... like, I think you're nice and all. Like, I just don't have the time.
Right. That is a hard one.
You know? And then they see it as like, oh, you can't because he's in a relationship. It's like, oh, I just, yeah, like, I mean, I don't know, like, I just, I'm doing other things, like, and I don't know, I've realized I'm just one of those people that also, I'm kind of like a workhorse. Like, if I'm not working, I don't really know who I am. Or, like, I feel worthless if I'm not working on some sort. Like, I'll probably be one of those people that work until they die. Like,
the service part.
Yeah, like...
that was one of the first things I told you when I read your chart the first time. You remember that?
Maybe.
I was telling you that, like, you don't know who you are unless you're taking care of other people.
Mm-hmm. Possibly, yeah.
Like, you get a lot of self-knowledge through taking care of others.
Yeah. I mean, I've sacrificed a lot to, like, try to, like, service people. I mean, like, you think of my career fields, like, all right. of them have been, like, service field interested, you. Helping service. So it's like, yeah. But I don't want to, I don't know, you get into, like, this rhythm. And sometimes you just know who you are, right? Like, you just know who you are. And I just know who I am now. So I just, like, all right, I'm a workhorse. And, like, my partners just have to be okay with that. And they have to, like, understand that if I'm not doing something, like... no, if I take a vacation, like, it's going to have to be a productive vacation. Or, like, a... we have to go see something. Like, we can't just, like, chill on a boat without
Yeah, I feel like we were pretty leisurely in Berlin, though.
No, yeah. But we were, like, actively doing... Like, we weren't, like... We went on, like, a little tour thing. Like, we did stuff. Tours, that's what I'm saying. Like, we did stuff.
And we did food outings and stuff. Right. But...
Like, I'm not a, like, let's go on a cruise to the Bahamas.
No cruises.
But, like, not...
See the Bahamas.
You know. And,
although I do, maybe this has to not be with you, I don't know, but I do need one of those vacays that's, like, on the beach, and you just, like, beach, room, and that's about it.
No, God.
Book, bed, food, sand, water.
Gotta be, like, gotta do a beach workout or something.
We can do some beach yoga.
Maybe.
Beach run.
Something.
Sunrise beach run.
Something.
Go. Well, I'd probably still want to like go do stuff like go get a massage.
Yeah.
And you know me, food gets me out of the house. That's enough activity for me. It's just where I'm gonna eat 3 times a day.
I guess. Meditate on that shit. That is our episode for today. We hope you enjoyed the content. Feel free to email us at queencitypoly@gmail.com for questions about polyamory or relationships in general. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, and write us a review on iTunes or wherever you listen to this podcast.
Queen City Poly comes to you from Charlotte, North Carolina. Special thanks to Charlotte-based artist Black Linen for lending us his track New Day, featuring Nyjah Hood, from his album First Saga, available on SoundCloud and Bandcamp. Stream his latest album, Black Linen 3.0, on Spotify right now. You're welcome.